Good morning. It's 9 minutes after the hour. Adam Weber has got to be quite a friend, and we certainly enjoy him. He's pastor of a church called Embrace. It's a 10-year-old church that has grown to 6 campuses and about 4,000 people in weekly attendance, and it's still growing. Amazing. Hey, Adam.
How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good. Nice to have you on the show. As always, look forward to it. We all want to do something different. You know, the new year comes around. We want to change. We want to do something different. How easy is it to change, and can we do it on our own?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, the new year is definitely a time of the year that I think all of us, myself included, actually, at the start of this year, I wrote down a few things. Gosh, I'd like to accomplish or change my own life.
Yeah.
But when it comes to true change, like heart change, we might be able to change small things here and there on our own strength and be able to change this and that. But when it comes to true life change, it's not something we can do on our own.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to do so for a little while, just by sheer grit. But when it comes down to true life change, that happens in and through Jesus, which I know is something that a pastor should say. and yet it's been so true, not only in my own life, but in the life of so many people that I've had a chance just to be a part of their life as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, we look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and I think, how do those manifest in my life if I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit doing the leading? How am I actually going to change? Unless I'm following Jesus, how are my words and my actions, my thoughts, my desires, how are they going to be different?
Yeah, you mentioned the fruit of the Spirit. That's one thing that I've come back to time and time again in my own life. Without the fruit and the Spirit in my life, my strong suit growing up used to be joy. I mean, I just had joy, and really in any circumstance I had joy. But it seems like the longer I've lived, the less joy I have in my own.
Interesting.
I find myself just clinging to Jesus, in need of God's joy, in need of the Holy Spirit's joy within me. And so how we change is just by being connected to the vine, just holding on to God, clinging to Him, starting our day, even right now, and starting our day by just saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I want to walk through this day with You.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to follow Your path. I want to follow Your path, not my own. And so the moment that I get like even a few steps ahead of You, would You just bring me back to Your side? Because I can't do this by myself.
Mm-hmm. Adam, you wrote a great blog at adamweber.com on this subject. And, we can try to bring more rules into our life in order to have more change possible. But you're saying it's not about more rules, is it?
It's not, no. And I think that we get things so messed up when we do that. And boundaries and guidelines are important in our life. But it truly starts with a relationship with Jesus. It's not sin management. God didn't send us His only Son so we'd act morally good and be good people. Yes, that's hopefully a byproduct of following God. But it starts with a relationship. And the more we grow our love for Him, the more He'll begin to change our heart, He'll begin to change our desires from the inside out. And so it won't be, gosh, I can't do this and I can't do that. I know I should do this. Instead, it's Jesus, I just love You. And because of that, I just want to change.
Mm-hmm.
My natural heart begins to want to change the more and more I fall in love with You.
Mm.
And then there are those things, like after we have that relationship in place, there's maybe some guidelines in our life that are just smart to put there, just like guardrails are on the side of a road, that we just might want to instill in our life. Says, gosh, I just know I struggle in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I just need someone to keep me accountable in this area. But those aren't the starting place. They're kind of the after step, the second step when it comes to having that relationship with Jesus being first.
Adam, this might be kind of a tough pastor question, but we come to a new saving faith in Christ. We're a new creation, so the old is gone. But yet we still have to somehow kill the old self. How do we do that?
Yeah. When we start following Jesus, we're told we're a new creation, Paul tells us.
Mm-hmm.
The old person is gone, and behold, new things have come. But our old self, our flesh that we still have, is going to continue to battle against us. Realizing, I think here's a powerful thing. When we start following Jesus, we're no longer the same person. Whether we still have the same temptation and desires, we are no longer the same person that we used to be. because I'm guessing there's people listening that, gosh, I've started following Jesus, but I'm still struggling with the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like I'm the same person. I just want to tell you, if you are in Jesus, you're not the same person. But when it comes to killing our old self, that's really a daily thing of recognizing that the old ways that we used to be, the old person we used to be, and just kind of acknowledging those things. And gosh, I know I struggled with anger before following Jesus, and I'm still tempted to struggle with anger, but that's not who I am. And so I'm killing that. Jesus, would you, by your strength, would you help me today to kill any ounce of anger within my heart?
Wow.
And if there's a friend that I need to talk with on a daily basis, hey, I struggle with anger with my family. I struggle with anger at the workplace. Would you be praying for me too? And would you just challenge me if you see that in my life? And so that might need to be a very intentional thing. Again, it starts with that relationship with Jesus. But when it comes to killing off parts of our old self, it's really intentional things. Whether it's lust, gosh, I struggle with lust when I'm looking at this and I'm thinking about that. Gosh, I need to remove every ounce of it in my life. And not a legalistic way, but instead a life-giving way. I don't want to struggle with this anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to remove this temptation from my life, not because I have to, but because I get to, like because I want to, because that's just not who I am anymore.
Mm-hmm. You talk about following Jesus and saying that if there's anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, help me to leave it behind. Help me to kill it. And of course, I'm all for that. What about the person listening today that says, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I still believe that I believe that a woman has a right to choose whether she has her baby or not." And so I don't want to go into your camp that says, "Oh, I'm one of those people that have to be against everything."
Wow, big question.
I know. Should we go to break and I'll give you a chance to think about it? Because it's 16 after and I can say, I'll let Adam think about that. We'll go to break. We come back. Adam will either be on the line or not on the line. We'll find out in just a few minutes. Speaking to Pastor Adam Weber at 16 minutes after, we'll be back with Adam's answer in just a minute.
I'm Kim Catola. Join me Sunday evenings at 8 on Faith 90.7 and 97.5.
Houston, we have a problem. We no longer have a guest. Oh, wait, he's still here. Adam, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. Okay, I wanted to get back to my question, giving you a few minutes to think about it. So you can't divorce yourself from your identity, but, you know, because every person coming to faith has to leave everything behind, right?
Totally.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's how God changes you. But if I'm sitting in this camp saying, okay, I believe that a woman has a right to choose. I believe that if she wants to kill her baby, she can do it. So how do we deal with that person in conversation?
Yeah, when it comes to following Jesus, it's a challenging thing for anyone, regardless of where you are. Politics, lifestyle, habits, priorities, and more and more for myself, I always tell people is, Lord, I don't want anything except what you want. I there's so many times that I start following Jesus, and even when I'm reading the Word, I'm going through Proverbs right now in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many times where I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that. And oftentimes what I'm saying is, I don't think I want to put that in place in my life, or I just disagree. And yet, time and time again, the only thing I want is what Jesus wants. And so what I would tell that person is, gosh, you know, you might be at a different place on this issue, on this whatever. I just want to encourage you to run after Jesus, and I promise he will change and transform your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, especially on issues that are divisive and you know, people start arguing and go crazy with each other, it's like, no, just begin to open up the Word and pursue God's truth on this topic, on this question. And he's the one that will turn people's lives upside down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I continue to be, even we talked about sex a few weeks back at Embrace, and man, it's heavy stuff. And there's so many different tangents that I wanted to say and address and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's amazing the response of people when you just begin to open up God's Word and just say, like, hey, here's what he says here. Here's what he says here. Here's what he says here. and just understanding that His ways are so much better than ours, I think, is what's going to change life.
Wow. Now, those sermons are available probably on the Embrace website, which I'm going on to watch.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about, you know, about stress, because we all have it. And I think there was a recent study that said 70% of Americans, they're literally showing physical and psychological signs of stress. I don't know exactly what all those signs would look like, but we've got it, and our schedules are to the hilt, and we're always trying to get something that we don't have, and social media will make us feel miserable. So comment on all that.
Yeah, no, stress, if you're a human being, I think you struggle with stress to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just coming out of the Christmas season where we hear about a Prince of Peace being born.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we had peace in Christmas, it's like we have Jesus and we're all excited. But oftentimes Christmas can just be just as stressful. So we get through that season. It's a new year. And you kind of think everything's going to be good now. It's going to settle down, slow down. But I know for myself, it almost feels like it's sped up. And so peace is one of those things that everyone is searching for, but few people find. And yet, the wonderful promise, again, the fruits of the Spirit we just mentioned, the wonderful promise is God is just not someone who offers us peace. Instead, He is the very source of where all peace comes from. And so we have a God who's not just like He dispenses it and He offers it and has a limited supply. Instead, He is the very beginning where all peace starts. And so stress, I mean, is something we're all wrestling with. And yet God is just standing here saying, I am willing to offer you my peace, regardless of what you're going through.
That's powerful, Adam. And, you know, and I think of John 14:27, where Jesus says, peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. So He's got a private stash of His peace. That's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Because our peace, again, we can maybe find peace here and there on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when our life is perfect, you know, when everything is perfect and we're drinking a lemonade or an iced tea, looking at the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Without kids, you can't have
keep
kids
it coming.
Either
keep it coming.
You wouldn't have peace.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, if we can find peace here and there when our life is perfect, but I know for myself, that portion of my life is about 0.001% of my year.
Wow.
The rest of the year is the rest of the year is stressful.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the year, I can't have peace on my own. I don't. I'm restless. I'm antsy. You know, I'm worrying about this and that. Even today, I'm like, gosh, last night, my son's, you know, going into middle school for the first time. So he had middle school orientation and all this kind of thing. And there's so many things to worry and stress about. But God's peace is peace that we can have and hold on to in the 99.9% of our lives when everything is crazy. No matter what we're going through, God offers us His peace. And it's not peace when there is no storms. It's peace in the midst of them,
mm-hmm.
Which is a wonderful promise.
You're probably worried about talking to me because of my daunting questions.
Oh, no. This is the highlight of my time, my week, every single week I'm on.
Oh,
so I'm grateful.
That's wonderful. But when we have the peace of Christ in our life, it really does draw attention. People look at you and you go, huh, you seem to be kind of in a nice place. And it does give you a platform and an opportunity to say how you manage your stress and how God is available to comfort you in your times of distress.
You're so right on. It's a light on a hill that can't be hidden. It's when we have peace in our life,
mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that's undeniable and so clear that no one can miss it. Whether you have 0 ounce of background in the church or not,
mm-hmm.
when you see someone who has peace, particularly when they shouldn't have peace and they
haven't,
people are drawn to you. They just want to so badly know about what you have or who you follow that they don't know about. It's other than joy and maybe love in our lives, when we have just the love of Christ and the joy of Christ within us, God's peace is a powerful, powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's a lady in our church that's battling lung cancer, a young mom, and she's just a simple, quiet gal, like just this wonderful lady. But she's gone through lung, this battle with lung cancer, and has had such peace throughout it that people are drawn to her. They just I don't understand how you can have this peace right now, and yet it's a true peace. It's not a fake peace. She's not putting on a front. She definitely has moments of struggling and worrying and, you know, just asking why. But there's just this peace about her, and people, no kidding, are just drawn to her story, and they want to hear more about her.
Wow, that's so impressive. I mean, I get a little chin acne, and I'm on 9 prayer lists. And I'm complaining,
exactly.
And I'm all tense. All right, Adam, thanks for making my day, as you always do.
Oh, thank you for making my day.
All righty.
Appreciate it. I'll be praying for your chin acne.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day, Adam.
You too.
Yep. It's 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. And then we've got a great second half hour coming up in today's program. My friend Jeff Verdorn is in the studio. We're going to talk about the rapture and how we don't talk about it very much anymore. Be back in a minute.
Ooh, I'm thinking it's all you say, I'm sailing.